Natural. Okay, so I'd love to do tonight is to enhance our Aseres Mechuva through the teachings of Reish Lakish. Mishnaso Shel Reish Lakish. A couple of weeks ago, we started looking at one of our Tshuva heroes. Certainly, of the Tanaim, probably Rabbi Akiva is the one that stands out the most in terms of his personal story, and as we saw a couple of weeks ago, in terms of what he taught about tshuva. And tonight we turn our attention to probably the most prominent Baal tshuva among the Amoraim, and that of course is Reish Lakish. Rabbi Neuberger actually, over the course of the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, spoke somewhat extensively about two aspects of Reish Lakish. He spoke about the stories of Reish Lakish, and he also focused on one particular comment that Reish Lakish makes about tshuva in the very end of Maseches Yuma, Zidonos Nasus Lakis Chuyos. So we're going to hold off on that for now. Last time when we spoke of Rabbi Akiva, we began our focus on the stories of Rabbi Akiva. I want to jump in tonight instead into the material that Rabbi Akiva taught. Thank you very much. And hopefully before the evening is done, we'll have a chance to return back to the story of Rabbi Akiva, of Reish Lakish as well. But let's begin by looking at Reish Lakish's teachings. And begin actually with a Gemara here, appears in the Maror Mekomos, as comment number 4. It's a Gemara in Brachos. Am Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Am Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. Brachos Tav Hei Amar Alf. It's hard to know how to even translate that. Lahargiz sounds like to be rogaze is to be angry. Lahargiz sounds like to make it angry. Sounds like Reish Lakish is saying that a Jew should always get his Yetzer Tov angry at his Yetzer Hara. That's what it sounds like literally. How do you know? A pasuk that we say, pasuk from near the beginning of Tehillim, a pasuk that is a practice to say as part of the Kriya Shema Lamita. Rigzu ba'al techato, be involved in rogez. If you'll be rogez, if you'll be angry, al techato, then you won't sin. Usually we associate anger with sin. So Reish Lakish says, well, what that pasuk means is not just be angry, it means get your yetzer tov angry, as it were, at the yetzer tov. Im nitzachal mutav. So if your yetzer tov wins, that's fantastic. What if it loses? And if you set up a fight, so who's going to win? So if your Yetzer Tov wins, you're in good shape. And lav yasok b'torah. Then step 2 is learn Torah. The pasuk continues, im that pasuk rizu v'atechato, imru bilvavchem. Say in your hearts. So that's a reference. He takes as a reference to plan B is Talmud Torah. Im nitzacho, that allows you to succeed over your Yetzer Hara. Fantastic. Im lav, plan C, yikra kriyashma. Shenemar al mishkavchem. The next phrase in that pasuk of Tehillim is to be al mishkavchem. The b'shach b'cha v'kumecha is a kriyas shema pasuk. Im nitzacho mutav. If that works, fantastic. V'im lav, the last resort, yizkar lo or yazkir lo yom hamisa. The final phrase in that pasuk, v'domu sela. So we have Rabbi Reish Lakish giving us four options. The first one is get your yetzer tov angry yetzer hara. If that doesn't help, so then Talmud Torah, Kriya Shema, and thinking morbid, macabre thoughts. What's Reish Lakish driving at? Are we looking for nisyonos? Are we looking for trouble? It's like go into a tough neighborhood and try to start up with people. Are we probably trying to do that morally? And go start up with your Yetzer Hara? What's he saying? Get your Yetzer Tov angry, Yetzer Hara. What does this mean? So take a look on the other side. The version of Bar Ilan that I have, the 16 plus, does not have all the Meiris. Doesn't have the Meiri in Brachas. I went back old school. We actually have a copy of the Meiri on Brachas. The Meiri had a chance the other week also to look at the Meiri's comments on Agadah. Comments on Agadah particularly are a real treasure. So here he, at the bottom of the first column on page 14, Hayim et Alf in Brachas, Misha ro'eh atzmo mitzativ o muchan la'averos. Meiri's style is typically to take the Gemara and try to summarize it and paraphrase it. He is probably inspired by the Rambam He uses Mishneic Hebrew, clean Mishneic Hebrew as much as possible. It often will help, but unlike the Mishram, the Mishnah Torah, the Meiri is organized al Seder HaGemara. So you know where to look, and he often will explain, unpack the Gemara in a way that's, that makes it very user-friendly. So, Misha Roa Atzmo Mitzat Tivo Muchan Laveris. Someone who sees that he has a natural tendency to Averis. So before, off the bat, Meiri is already telling us that this isn't, Leolam doesn't mean everyone should always be looking for trouble. Doesn't mean go looking for trouble, start with the Yetzara, test yourself. It means the person realizes that he's having difficulty. The person realizes, we all realize at times, each person in his area of weakness, he realizes they have a weakness particularly out there, so what should I do? Tzaseri Simit Shuvah, and I've been doing some, carving out some time to sit with myself and think. Vayivasar Yaakov Levado, getting comfortable just being by myself, spending some time. And I'm getting in touch with myself, I'm getting in touch with all my strengths, or what are my weaknesses, and what sorts of situations do I handle well? What sorts of situations do I tend to find challenging and often don't end up where I want it to be? So I realize I have this area that's difficult, that I'm often not coming up successful. So Yishtadel Batzmo, he's Chazek Lahashlut Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Harav. Yachisen Olav. So then I have to... if I realize that I'm often getting into trouble, so then I need to be proactive. Then I need to jump in to that area and try to get my Yetzer Tov. This is how he's translating Yargiz, to be Mashlit. Should try to be Mashlit my Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra. Should try to get my Yetzer Tov to be in charge. We show late. And he explained, Yetzer Olomar, Sheishlot Sechlo Al Ta'avosom. He says, Yetzer Tov Yetzer Ra, in my rational thinking versus just listening to my baser desires. Who's in charge of, who runs my will? The truth is that Rav Moshe Shapiro, they published a couple years ago, Re'ei Emuna, is a series of shiurim that he gave over around a year and a half or so. I think their series was around 40 shiurim, maybe more, 60 shiurim, on Ikari Emuna. Very, very beautiful shiurim. In the introduction, he talks about the language that the various Sifrei Machshava, Kabbalistic and otherwise, use, picking up on the different terms that the Tanakh uses to talk about the soul, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. And he explains that what it's all about is recognizing that I have my rational mind, and then I have my desires, and in the center stands the will. And the question is, who's running, to whom does the will answer? Where is decision making coming from? Is it that my will is driven by my desires, and then the seichel sort of is controlled, or is my seichel in charge? My seichel is running the show and imposing its will on my desires, and then my desires are working for the seichel. Which one is it? So Meiri says that's what's going on here. What Rish Lakish is saying is I need to ideally put myself in a situation, create a situation where my Yetzer Tov, my Seichel, my rational thinking, will be in charge of my Taivas and not the other way around. Does not say, and we'll come back to this, that I should try to delete my Taivas and try to just entirely uproot and destroy my desires. But the question is, who's in charge? Who's working for whom? Are my desires working for my rational thinking, rational decision making? Or are my desires in charge and my rational mind sort of getting dragged along? He said, that's what you're looking for. Mitzacha o b'kach muta. If that works, fantastic. If not, then Torah, Kriyashma, Yom HaMisa. And Meiri goes on to explain. What do these refer to? Not just literally learning Torah, reading Kriyashma, or thinking macabre thoughts. He says, these are categories. These are ideas. He says, what we mean by Yasek B'Torah, he says, doesn't even mean limud uniquely, but b'kiyum ha-mitzvus. I should throw myself into a mitzvah, a lifestyle of mitzvus, b'kiyum ha-vanas inyanehen. Should try to do as many mitzvahs as I can and seek to understand them. And that may help me to attain self-control. If that's not working, then he says, what Kriyashma means is you got to carve out time to think, to be misbodeid, and to think about the ideas for which Kriyashma stands. The existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the fact that there's a single God who runs the entire universe. I said, that's what Kriyashma is all about. And he goes on to say, "V'yisa negative obaze, enjoy it. Enjoy, learn to enjoy the ideas. And learn to develop a passion and an appetite for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, vakesh od moser gufani. That's going to take the edge off of my need to always fill the hole within with physical pleasure." That's a fascinating idea. There's a need for meaning, and there's a need for psychic enjoyment. I can fill it well, or I can fill it deeply, or I can fill it shallowly. Maybe there's a hole that's not being filled with meaning. So it says, seek to enjoy the greatest pleasures in life. Seek to enjoy Ribono Shel'olam. And then maybe I won't have as much of a need to, I won't feel the emptiness that needs to be constantly filled by just more and more and more mosarim gufanim. And then I'll be able to engage my taivas as I see fit, rather than them running my life. And then finally he says, if either that's not working, or I don't have the tools to sort of dig into that sort of deep theology, and he says finally that I may just have to think about the fact that life is limited, and so go the negative route and just realize I have a limited amount of time in this world, and I better get stuff done. Sort of the, if not the ava, then the yira. If you realize that life is bounded, and I don't want to waste the time and opportunity that I have on this world. That's the way the Meiri unpacks Reish Lakish's comment in Brachas Tav Hei. So one thing that strikes us is that Reish Lakish is presenting us with a broad toolkit in terms of tshuva. Right? As the Meiri said, the olam yargis doesn't mean that everyone should always be looking for trouble within. It means that when I realize that I have a problem, when I realize that I'm given into my yetzer, in other words, when I need to do tshuva, here's my toolkit. And it's a broad toolkit. Let's try this, or let's try that, or how about this, or if not, then that. So Reish Lakish is a man who, and this is, if not the first, certainly one of the first comments we see from Reish Lakish in all Pshas. So right off the bat, Reish Lakish presents us with the notion that there's going to be a broad toolkit, and different people need different things, and there could be a variety of realities in our life that we could put at the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and specifically at the service of tshuva. Rav Yigal Ariel points to a Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabba. I think I mentioned at the beginning of last year. He has a fantastic sefer, Erpam Meshuv Asam. Rav Ariel is for decades, I believe, is Rav of Nov in the Golan, and down the highway from Nov is another Yishuv Chispin, which I have a personal connection, and which is the location of several most of Satar. There's a Shivat Hasder in Chispin, and there's a Midrashah in Chispin, and Rav Ariel, I don't know if he's retired or still, is continuing to say Shiurim at that Midrashah. So he has a series of beautiful Svarim on the different Sifrei Tanakh, as well as a Sefer Erpam Meshuv Asam, which is, instead of being focused on a particular Sefer, is focused on the theme of tshuva. So a significant chunk of what we're saying, certainly many of the Makoros, I was zochet to find in the Sefer. He points us in particular to this Medrash Rabbah. The next couple of Makoros we're going to see, he puts together, and puts them together similarly, maybe not the same way, and then after that we're going to move to a very fascinating Machlokas Bav Yerushalmi, which I did not find him talking about. Take a look at source number one on the sheet. Take a look at this Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah. I'm indebted to Rav Ariel not only for pointing me in his sefer to this Shir HaShirim, but also to point to a Girsa issue. The Amar Reish Lamed, the Vilna edition has it as Rabbi Levi. Rav Ariel points out that the older editions, the Warsaw edition and others, appears as Reish Lakish, and he thinks that there was a Tavos HaTfus perhaps. He also points out Rabbi Levi may have been a Talmud Reish Lakish, so either way we're probably getting Torah's Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says the following: Isti yada l'machroz l'yada l'mikdach. Isti yada l'mikdach l'yada l'machroz. This is a rich metaphor. Some know how to string together, but don't know how to drill. Some know how to drill, but don't know how to string together. Makes you think of a pearl necklace. You need both. You need it to be able to drill the hole, and you need to be able to break through a pearl, and you also need to be able to string them together, to combine them into something larger and beautiful. Baram says, Reish Lakish, I know Havina Charuza, I know Havina Kaducha. I have been a stringer and I've been a driller. Now, Ariel suggests, he says, in the context of the Medrash, is about Talmud Torah and different faculties and different modalities necessary for building oneself as Talmud Chacham. But he suggests, whether Al Pipshat or if not, then certainly with a poetic eye, Reish Lakish perhaps is talking about himself in the world of tshuva also, in the world of growth. Now, sometimes tshuva is going to come through breaking down, and sometimes tshuva is going to come through building up. Using both those, the things are obviously positive, but sometimes also from the mashber and from being broken, from the kaducha, from the drilling through, a Jew can end up growing. And Reish Lakish is saying, I was able to do both. I was able to do both, to be revolutionary and evolutionary. And Reish Lakish, as you know, his own life, totally walked away from his career as a CEO of a banditry firm, but then proceeded not just to remain a sort of a shell of a person, but built himself up into one of the greatest amoraim of all time. Now, and it speaks also to what we saw the Meiri in particular, the way Meiri interprets the Gemara and Brachas is touching this point that there's value to the, there can be growth from the positive and there can also be growth from the negative. And that's the theme that you see, the Ra'ariel does point out, appears consistently in many different contexts. That different comments that Reish Lakish makes. Do you have a question?
No, I was going to say, it's probably may also speak to the greatness of Rabbi Yochanan. See the diamond in the rough.
Yes, yes, I agree with you. And we'll see soon evidence that it's Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish may have learned this incredibly fundamental lesson from his Rebbe, and maybe even from their first encounter. But let's see some more what Reish Lakish has to say, and then we're going to shift to see Torahs of Yochanan as well. Reish Lakish writes in here, Gemara and Shabbos Daf Pei Zayin and Aleph, a Gemara that we associate with this time of year, in part because it's a Gemara that a Neuberger often will return to each year from a different angle and perspective, Simchas Torah time, or at the Neil Sachag of Sukkos, which is coming up soon. Gemara Shabbos Pei Zayim and Aleph. It appears in the sheet in front of you is source number 2. The Pei Vav Pei Zayim Shabbos is the sugya in Agada, largely, the Agada to sugya of Mamar Harsina. So Gemara talks about many of the famous comments about Mamar Harsina, Kafalei and Harkagigas and so on and so forth, and they're trying to figure out what the timing was like and how much preparation they had, all in that area of Masecha Shabbos. Gemara talks there about different decisions that Moshe Rabbeinu made on his own without hearing them from HaKadosh Baruch Hu first. He had a rationale based on what he had learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in other contexts. Moshe Rabbeinu, several times in his career, made a call that may have seemed radical, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately told him, you did the right thing. And this is a Gemara that appears in the, I believe in Rashi, at the very, very end of Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchas. That's why Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, right? Because Luchos Matan Torah should have been complete on Shavuos v'Tammuz because of the Shviras HaLuchos was necessary because of the Chet HaEgel. So instead, two rounds of 40 days go by, and then finally Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the second set of Luchos. But the first set of Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu broke without direct instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a radical move, if ever there was one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Luchos. They've given to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu makes the game time decision, as it were. I see what's happening. The luchos need to be broken. The Gemara says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him after the Yasher Koach. As a matter of fact, this is the source for Yasher Koach. We know in the Hiskam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yado Gemara and Shabbos Pei Zayim et Alf. How do we know that Rabbeinu Shalom ultimately approved the post facto of his decision? Shenemar Asher Shibarta. Well, why the word Asher? I'm a Reish Lakish. It's Reish Lakish who says, Yasher Kochach Asher Shibarta. Asher is a reference to Yasher Kochach. As an aside, I just came across the other night, the Matze Ephraim, in Sefer, from Ephraim Talmud Margolius, on Halachas of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkos. So he actually, you know, he talks about the duchenim. He says, you say yasher koach. He says it's either asher koach or ye asher koach with an aleph. The koach should be meushar. That may be reflected in this Gemara. The Gemara says yasher koach coming from asher. Asher shibarta. That's a yasher. Yasher koach asher shibarta. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the original yasher koach. Rabbanu Shalom gave yasher koach to Moshe Rabbeinu. That he did what? That he broke the luchos. Who tells us this? It's Reish Lakish. How about that? Reish Lakish speaking, the original Yasher Koach being not over having built something amazing, the original Yasher Koach in history, and the divine Yasher Koach, was Shkach that you broke things. Shkach that you broke things, and from that came great growth. From that comes the original Kaparas Harab. And from that comes the original Yom Kippur, from Moshe Rabbeinu Shvira. And who points it out? Once again, it's Reish Lakish, focusing us on the great positive potential of breakage. Sometimes things don't work out. Often things don't work out. We have many failures. And Reish Lakish is the one who points us to the fact that don't just write it off. Your greatest opportunities for growth may come from that. What can you grow out of that crack? And then, the final idea that I'll share from Rav Ariel is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, source number 3 on the sheet in front of you, and he is such a poetic eye that he has for Agados. Take a look at this. Gemara quotes Rav Shimon ben Lakish. That's Reish Lakish. Ain Gehenim Lasid Lavo. There is no Gehenim in the future. You read that, you say, wow, no Gehenim? What happens to Schar V'Yonash? What does he mean? El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Min Artika. Rabbi Shalom is going to, as it were, take the gloves off, take the casing off of the sun. Now you imagine when we had the eclipse not so long ago, you know, so you had to put on the glasses so the sun's light was sufficiently clouded and diminished, so we're able to look at it. To take off the glasses, it's so bright. But even that, imagine if the sun as we know it, already so bright, is, so to speak, further uncased, full strength. There's going to be incredible energy. Umakdir, there'll be incredible energy. Rishayim nidonimba, the Rishayim will be burnt by it. Rishayim will be punished by that. The tzaddikim misrapimba. And the same heat will be painful for the Rishayim, will provide respite and healing for tzaddikim. They'll derive, not only they'll be cured of their problems, but they'll derive incredible pleasure. Right? And we know well, fire can be used incredibly constructively or incredibly destructively. And once again, who tells us this? It's Reish Lakish. In Gehenim, what does that opening phrase mean? In Gehenim lasid lavo. It sounds so startling. There's no onesh? No. He doesn't mean to say there's no onesh. So what does he mean by that phrase? There is a Gehenim. The Gehenim is Rishayim are gonna get scorched by the sun. So what do you mean there's no Gehenim?
Their deceitful ways will be left bare. In other words, there'll be nothing to hide behind.
There'll be nothing to hide. There'll be clarity. Right. In game, lasis lava doesn't mean that there'll be no onesh. But what it likely means, if Ariel points out, is that there's nothing that's purely bad. Don't think that there's like this Gan Eden and it's just goodness, and then there's another area which is Gehenna, it's just badness. No. It's not that there's something which is totally bad. Of course it will be a Gehenna experience, but it's the same item that will be pleasurable for, will be constructed and pleasurable. Misrapim, misadnim for the tzaddikim. It's not that it's fundamentally bad. It'll depend on what you're bringing with you. If you're coming with chatzam, it's going to be painful. If you're coming as a tzaddik, it's going to be incredibly positive. Again, as he sees, not only in terms of, it's almost like a v'halachta b'dracha, as we're modeling ourselves after Ribbono Shel'olam. Like the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, Reish Lakish is telling us in this Gemara. Again, if you look at this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet, with Rav Ariel's poetic eye, the way Rosh Hashanah set up the world, there aren't, even Gehenna isn't fundamentally bad. There's a thing, there's a reality there. It can be used well or poorly. You can approach it b'tzidkus, and it'll be a source of great pleasure. Or you can approach it as a rasha, and it'll be a source of intense pain. And that's the way, not only Lasser Lavo, but as we saw in Brachas Davei, and in the beginning of Shir Shirim Mabba. And the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Reish Lakish keeps driving home the point that things can be used well or poorly. And even not only things out there, items in our life, but even our failures, we can take our failures, our breakages, what can we grow from that? I failed. I looked back. It was painful. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a chet ha'edal. And there was a shviras haluchas. But that was the right thing to do right now, and we can build from that. Yashakor sheshibarta. The breakage was right now the right thing, and look what we're going to get to Yom Kippur. But that's a powerful idea. A powerful idea. Again, not only, as we saw at the beginning, a broad toolkit in general, Reish Lakish presents us with, you know, tshuva can take many different forms, and there can be many different parts of my life that I can access for growth and for change and for renewing myself, as we saw the Gemara and Brachas Davei. But specifically, the things that look bad can often be accessed well. How can I make sure that my seichel is running the show instead of my taivas, and then I can put my, not that I, again, as I said before, not that I'm getting rid of my taivas, but I'll be mashlit, as an Iri said, interpreting Reish Lakish's comment. Let me figure out how I can ensure that my seichel is making the decisions, is controlling my taiva, so that the taiva can be used well, instead of the taiva taking over and being misplaced and taking leadership, and then I'm in a bad place. Now, Michael mentioned before that that's Rabbi Yochanan. So, this idea is definitely where Reish Lakish owns it, and he says it often. As a matter of fact, he also says it in the comment of Reish Lakish that Rabbi Neuberger discussed extensively in Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. The Peivav HaMebeit, the very end of the Masechta, he talks about the possibility of tshuva not only turning my willful averus into lesser averus, zedonos nasas shkagas, but even zedonos nasas kezichuyos, that can take the chatam and turn them into something positive through the koach hatshuva. And that certainly gives great expression to this idea. But I think it may also be a ray Torah of Yochan. Torah Eretz Yisrael, maybe Torah of Yochan in particular. I'm going to show you something fascinating. And it brings us to the last laning of this week. The last passage of Tanakh that Chazal saw us bring, the last piece of Tanakh that will prepare us for the end of Yom Kippur is Sefer Yonah. And the Gemara and the Mishnayos in the second paragraph of Tanis point to Yonah as one of the paradigmatic pieces of drasha material. Mishnah, the second paragraph of Tanis, talks about what happens when there's a Tanis for rain and Jews are trying to do tshuva. And Mishnah says you have fasting, and a key part of the day is that someone has to get up and give him a shmuz. The zakin is Doresh, and the Mishnah gives an example, sounds like, or the official Musar Shmuz, is look at the people of Yonah. Look at the people of Nineveh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does it say? Vayalakim es ma'aseyim. That's the official Musar Shmuz, the Mishnah says. They remember, it ultimately wasn't about the fact that they were wearing sackcloth and they were fasting. Those were just tools to get to real change. It doesn't say Vayalakim es sakam es tanisam. Chumash doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed what was going to happen to them because of their fasting, because of the sackcloth. No, Vayalakim es ma'aseyim. They made a real change in their actions. Because of that Mishnah, Bavli and Yerushalmi both have a discussion there, beginning in the second paragraph of Tanis, about that chunk of Yonah. What's remarkable is a stunning machalokos. So take a look. The Bavli says, right around there, when it describes the Yalakim as Masim, is a response to what they did. The Melech gives them Musar, gives them instructions they need to do tshuva, and they do. And they backtrack from their evil ways. from the evil or from the theft that was in their hands. So what does that mean? It's very visual. Not just minachavachavim, they're bekapein in their palms. Well, what's with the palms? It's very vivid. So Gemara, so Yishmuel and Rabbi Yochanan both comment. The Bavli, here's source number 5, the Talmud Bavli, Tanis Tezayim and Aleph, where Yishmuel says, Afilu gozal marish, even if a fellow in Nineveh had stolen lumber, and it didn't remain in that state. B'no b'bira, they had taken the stolen lumber and built a house with it. Knocked the whole house down in order to return the lumber. Wow, that's pretty significant. Right? Contrast that with the Yerushalmi, in source number 6. Also, beginning of the second paragraph, Tanis, the bottom line, the first column of this page, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mashaya b'kaf yedeim hechazir. What's with the hands? Not, it's not a maximalist, they gave back everything. It's just the opposite. If it was still in their hands, then they gave it back. They were caught red-handed. Oh, I'm not still walking around with the stolen goods. They just pickpocketed, then they gave it back. Mashaya b'shitev amigdol hechazir. If they already put it away in the closet, and they didn't give back. No one was just struck by the extreme machlokas. It's very kitzoni. Shmuel says they were doing incredible tshuva. They were breaking the house down in order to give back the stolen items. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yochanan says, that sounds almost fake. Yeah, if caught red-handed, they gave it back. But if they put it away, that's going to stay where it is. But not only is it remarkable, striking, that the machlokas is min ha-katzah la-katzah, but there's a kasha. What's troubling about this? Think back to the Mishnah. What is it, Noam?
If it's so true that the tshuva of Yonah was such an ideal cartel tshuva, where we don't describe it, doesn't seem so legitimate.
Fantastic. It seems like it was fake. Now, you can fool people, at least some of the time. You can't fool God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taken by what they did and gave them a reprieve. So number one, we don't understand, why you understand the pasuk? And what? That's a great Moser Shmuz? It seems like a terrible Moser Shmuz. What's the message? Just fake it out, and you'll fool God, you'll be okay? Rachman al Tzlan. What's going on? How do you understand the pasuk? How do you understand the Mishnah? Or what's Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan is commenting on that Mishnah. What's he saying? So I want to show you. I think this Machlokas Shmuel and the Bavli, Rabbi Yochanan and Rishalmi, is also Machlokas Rashi on the Bavli, a line down, and the Rambam. Gemara says the next line, and it appears here as source number 8. Another very, very vivid visual metaphor. Rav Adar Bar Ahava, Adam Sheish Biyado Aveira, Umisvadeh Ve'eno Chozerba. A fellow did an Aveira, and he's Misvadeh. He goes through saying a Vidui, but Eino Chozerba. But he didn't actually do substantive tshuva. So Lamahu Doma, what's that like? What's that like? He says, a fellow, if a person touches a dead mouse, person touches a sheretz, so the sheretz makes me tummy. So I better go to the mikvah. The mikvah will start the tahara process. But let's say, if Adar Bar Ahava says, Adam shetofei sheretz biyado. I'm still holding on to the sheretz and I go to mikvah. Tovel v'sheretz biyado. I jump into the mikvah still holding the source of tumah. That's pointless. You got to first let go of the tumah, then we could talk about going to mikvah. Still holding on to the sheretz, I'm going to come out of the mikvah still holding on to the sheretz. Obviously, that's pointless. So if Adar Bar Ahava says, I am going through a vidui, but I'm not actually doing any real internal tshuva, that's like tovel v'sheretz biyado. Now, what does that mean, tovel v'sheretz? What are we talking about? What do you mean, misvade no chozer? So Rashi says, the bottom of the column, so let's say a fellow stole, the eno chozer bo, he says, what do you mean, I'm misvade, but I wasn't mishalem es hagezel. I didn't return the stolen object. They're very nice, you say you feel bad, but you haven't given it back, you haven't fixed the past, but nothing to talk about. Look now, by contrast, at the Rambam. Beginning of Parag Beis. Halacha Gimel, call mizvade b'dvarim v'lo garm b'libo l'azov. If I verbally am mizvade, but I didn't make a decision to let go of my path, I raise a dom l'tov v'sheretz b'yado. That's the tov v'sheretz b'yado. Interestingly, What do you mean? Rabbi maybe taking a different tack. He says, I wasn't ozev. What do you mean I wasn't ozev? I didn't abandon the Aveira. So let's take a step back to his definition of tshuva in the previous halacha, Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Mahi ha-tshuva. Sheyazov ha-chotei cheto. Again, that term. I'm ozev, I abandoned the chet. What does that mean? Yisiro ma'achshavto, v'yigmar b'libo shol eseyu od. I put it out of my mind, which is a strange thing to say. Usually you think about tshuva as focusing on the chet. He says, put it out of your mind. What do you mean put it out of your mind? So he goes on to explain. Yigmar b'libo shol eseyu od. I make it a commitment not to do it again. So yisiro ma'achshavto probably means I take it out of my thought patterns. Because I would have reacted to that stimulus by doing that aveira. Now I change the way I think. I change the way I'm going to react going forward. I'm not going to do this again. Yazov Rasha Darko. Abandon your path. Abandon that arc. Don't behave the same way the next time. And he says, and he goes on to say the famous line, V'yo'ida love yodea ta'alumos. He who knows the secrets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees within, can say, this fellow wouldn't do this aveira again. That's tshuva. I have to say this. So the main thrust is I need to change the future. He said, we skipped a line, now let's go back to it. Before he starts talking about the litmus test and Ribbono Shel Olam being made, he said it's azivas achet, changing for the future, vechein, and also yisnachem ashe avar. I should also regret the past. This is very striking. The Rambam, tshuva is primarily forward-looking. Tshuva is primarily that I'm not going to do the same thing again. Also, you should regret the past. And now moving back to Halacha Gimel, he said, a meaningless tshuva is where I'm not ozev. Ozev means, we just saw, ozev means to change my path for the future. So while for Rashi, tova v'sheres biyado, the meaningless tshuva is where I haven't fixed the past, but you're doing tshuva, but you're still holding on to stolen goods, Rashi says, worthless. You haven't addressed the past. What type of tshuva is that? Rambam doesn't seem to say that. Rambam seems to say tshuva is primarily by changing going forward. Be a different person tomorrow. That's the primary aspect of tshuva. A secondary aspect is dealing with the past. But it sounds from Halacha Gimel that if I have addressed, I made an honest, genuine decision to be different tomorrow, that's already meaningful tshuva. If I don't have any chance, plan to be different tomorrow, then that's meaningless. If I plan to be different tomorrow, I've gone real aziva sachet, that's meaningful tshuva. Even though apparently I've never addressed yesterday. Not ideal tshuva, but it already is something significant. It's a meaningful first step. I believe that that is pshat in Shmuel and Rish Lakish. The Rashi is taking the approach of the Bavli. Shuvas Anshin Inve, that was thoroughgoing. They got rid of all the stolen items. They fully addressed their past misdeeds. What's Rabbi Yochanan saying? And we were so troubled with Yochanan. They fake out HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They only gave back the things that they were caught with? What type of tshuva is that? I understand the pasuk. I understand the Mishnah in Tanis. The answer, I think, is Rambam is explaining to us the approach of Rabbi Yochanan. That tshuva needs to be about looking forward. As long as I make an honest decision to be different tomorrow, that's significant tshuva. Not perfect tshuva, I haven't yet addressed the past, but already something meaningful. And then, the drasha of the Mishnah is gorgeous. Because number one, the pasuk is saying, "Vayaro kimes maaseihem." Because Baruch Hu saw, presumably, the way the Rambam would say it, he saw that they were ready to act differently tomorrow. They were doing tshuva. They were shofar midarkam. They're derech. The Rambam said, "I mean, what path am I on? How am I acting? What's my arc?" They changed their arc going forward, and it's an incredible drasha for Shmuel. The drasha is, look at the people of Nineveh. They did such a remarkably amazing tshuva. Strive to be like them. Look at those gedolim in Nineveh. For the Rambam, for Rabbi Yochanan, the Rebbe of Rish Lakish, drush is just the opposite. The drush is Rabosai. Don't think it's all or nothing. Don't think, I can't fix everything and then I may as well give up. No! Look at Anshei Nineveh. They were far from perfect. They were still, they were holding on to stolen goods. But they had made an honest, real, genuine decision that tomorrow would be different. They weren't yet ready. They weren't yet at the point where they could look in the drawer and say, look, I have to give this all back. That was too hard. They weren't perfect. They were nowhere near having dealt with it yet. But they did make a real substantive decision that tomorrow is going to be different. That's already real tshuva. Rabosai says the Zaken in the Mishnah, according to the approach, I believe, of Rabbi Yochanan in the Yerushalmi and the Rambam. Rabosai, just step one. Just make a real decision about tomorrow. And do it. And do it again. And do it again. And as you're mischazek in that path, eventually down the road you have the strength to even look back and begin to address past failings. But tshuva for the Rambam is not so much about deleting past chet as much as growing and becoming a different person going forward. It's, while for Rashi it's very retrospective, for Rambam it's really prospective. And I would suggest, in closing, that not only is this Torah's Rabbi Yochanan, and this is Torah's Eretz Yisrael, Acholos Bavi Yerushalmi, specifically Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan, the Rebbe of Rish Lakish, and this really gives gorgeous expression to that idea that imperfection doesn't mean no growth. There can be growth even when one recognizes one is far from perfect. And for Rabbi Yochanan, that's what the Mishnah is saying. That's the official Musar Shmuz in Mishnayos. Not only is that, but I would suggest in closing that perhaps Rish Lakish learned this message, began to learn this lesson from Yochanan the very first time they met. Because when the Gemara in Bavli Tzia, Daf Peidal and Alf, there in Newberg mentioned, right, that the famous story, Yochanan is bathing in the Yarden, he lives near Eretz Yisrael, and Rish Lakish jumps in after him, presumably to rob him blind. Rish Lakish was a bandit, and Yochanan says, "You're so powerful, you should use your power for Torah." And Rish Lakish says to him, "You're such a good-looking guy, Rabbi Yochanan. What are you busy in base marriage for? Go find a woman, right? Shufrach lenashi. Why don't you use your beauty?" Reish Lakish, presumably, from where he's coming from, he's saying, "Use your beauty in base ways." What does Rabbi Yochanan say to him? He says, "I have a sister who's very good-looking also. If you grow into the type of person who's a good match for my sister, you can marry her." What's he saying? He's not rejecting what Rish Lakish said about Yofi. He's saying, Yofi is not bad. Beauty isn't bad. It's a question of how you use it. If you can make yourself into Baal Tshuva, you can make yourself into Talmud Chacham, then the Yofi that you're seeing could be used fantastically well. It's not bad. It's a question of how you channel it. Which is what Rabbi Yochanan said to him first and second. He said, "You have great strength. Chelech lor, don't throw it away. Channel it well. That strength that in your mind is all about evil, that strength you've just been using to mug people, it's not a bad thing. It's very powerful. Rechannel it." And then when Reish Lakish pushes back and says, "Ah, look at your Yofi," he says, "I don't think Yofi's bad either. It's a question of how you use it. If we're going to use Yofi the way you, Reish Lakish, are thinking of it right now, that would be horrific. But Yofi can be used incredibly well. The kochos and the taivus that Rosh Hashanah gives us, it's a question of how we channel them." That was a great message that Reish Lakish began to learn from his Rebbe in their first encounter, in both of Rabbi Yochanan's statements. It's the message that we, as we saw in Maseches Tanis, Rabbi Yochanan develops as the theme of Yonah and the theme of the drasha built on Yonah. And as we saw that Rav Ariel collects a host of comments of Reish Lakish, that together form Mishnas HaTshuva of Reish Lakish. The organized thinking, the approach of Reish Lakish is exactly that, and that, as we said, is the message and the final passage of Tanakh with which we use to climax our Yom Kippur. Mirtz Hashem, I hope that these ideas will be not only intriguing to think about, but useful in our own personal growth from now until Yom Kippur, and Mirtz Hashem beyond as well.